Welcome in, podcast listeners. I am fired up. Get your popcorn. Santa Clara County has kicked Stanford University and the San Francisco 49ers out of the state. They're not allowed to play football, and they won't actually file lawsuits for the fact that they should be able to play there. I'm going to walk you through why this is a monumentally important story. Also, we'll talk with Shannon Spake and go give us 5-star podcast reviews. All right, we had another incredible month in November. Millions of you downloading the podcast. I'm asking for you to go write 5-star reviews. Danny G is reading some of them today. If your 5-star review is read, guess what? You get the opportunity for a 5-star t-shirt. An exclusive VIP event, the likes of which you can't find anywhere else. All you have to do is go right now and give us a 5-star review. The podcast begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
As we roll through the Wednesday edition of the program, thank you for hanging out with us. I hope you are having a fantastic start to your morning, and hopefully we're about to make it a little bit better. And certainly this afternoon, you'll be having at least a NFL game to watch on 3:40 in the afternoon. You will get the opportunity to see, at least maybe I should knock on wood, because so much has been changed about this game and it's taken so long to get it actually played. Initially, this was going to be a Thanksgiving evening game that all of us could sit around and watch. Instead, it's now going to be played, the Steelers hosting the Ravens on a Wednesday afternoon, nearly a week after it was initially scheduled. So we will have finally the completed week of NFL action. Probably some of you waiting on pins and needles to see whether you're going to win your fantasy weeks or not. Probably some of you out there waiting, hopefully, to cash a winning ticket and the Outkick six pack can have another winning week. We are sitting, I believe, at 2-2-1. And I gave out the Steelers -4, and the Steelers are now out to an 11-point favorite as a result of Lamar Jackson not being able to play and the additional other positive COVID tests that have impacted things in a negative way for the Ravens, who last played what seems like forever ago when they lost in overtime to the Tennessee Titans. It will be nearly 2 weeks by the time they kick off this afternoon since that last game was played. It also necessitated a lot of moving parts as it pertains to the weekend schedule, Monday night football, Tuesday games next week. All of that, all those moving parts, the end result is we have a Wednesday afternoon football game that I imagine just about all of you out there will do your best to be able to watch. And we don't even have a Fox Bet Live television show, so for us, this worked out pretty well. Otherwise, we'd have been on going head-to-head with the football game. Instead, I'll kick up my feet come 3:40 tomorrow, this afternoon, and be able to kick back and watch. So that is a big storyline that is out there. And honestly, this feels almost like a must-win game for the Ravens, even though they don't have Lamar Jackson, even though they don't have Mark Andrews, even though they have all of the injury situation-related news, and injury is the wrong word, the COVID-positive-related news that is going to keep them from being able to play. So that news is out there related to the Ravens and the Steelers. Some bit of positivity. The CDC has decreased the amount of days that you have to quarantine for, and that should be positively impactful, I would think, overall for many different leagues and teams out there. Now it's 10 days instead of 14 days. And honestly, there's some talk about going all the way down to 7 days. And if that were the case, then these positive tests would be even less impactful than they are now. Now, positive big takeaway here is that in general, there remain no major issues associated with COVID positive tests in college football or the NFL anywhere. If you remember when we were talking about whether it was possible to play football or not, there was all the terrifying stories out there about how many football players were going to die. Do you remember that? The Corona Bros spreading all those stories. Oh, if they play college football this year, a bunch of players are going to die. And the data never supported that at all, but there were a lot of people running around like their hair was on fire. And here we are coming into December now, a couple of weeks remaining. I'm going to get to the college football playoff rankings here in a moment. But there's been no major impact in the NFL, no major impact in college football, no major impact anywhere from any of these COVID positive tests, which is par for the course. Because as I've been saying for months, if you're under 50 years old, you're under more danger driving to and from work than you are dying from COVID. And it's like people won't listen or won't believe it, but maybe now some people are starting to behave a little bit rationally because you're starting to see a general consensus out there that kids should be in school, for instance, and that school should have never shut down in the first place, that the data never supported the idea of kids not being in school starting in March. So all of that rolling together there. Had a little bit of fireworks last night with the college football playoff reveal. And I don't know how many of you actually watched this show because most of the time there isn't a lot of real information that comes out in these Tuesday night college football playoff ranking reveals. As we've talked about before on the show, you can kind of see where things are headed without needing to dive into the specifics of each week. And the big picture storyline here is, I'll just go ahead and tell you as it pertains to the college football playoff, Alabama is a monster favorite to make the college football playoff. All they have to do is beat LSU this weekend. And if they do that, then they would be scheduled to play against Arkansas. I'll get to whether or not that game would be played or not. But if Alabama wins those two games, assuming they are played, 10-0 Alabama goes ahead and punches its ticket to the playoff, regardless of what happens in the SEC championship game. Meanwhile, Florida, also in the SEC, has a game this weekend against Tennessee, where they're a big favorite. And then in theory, they would play LSU next weekend. And if they win those two, which they would be substantial favorites to do, then Florida at 9-1 would advance to the SEC championship game. And they would then need to beat Alabama in that game in order to make the college football playoff. Meanwhile, also in the SEC, if you heard me talking with Billy Lucci yesterday on the podcast, you've got Texas A&M with three games remaining. If they win all three of those games, then they will be at 9-1. And I would imagine that they will be right squarely in the college football playoff race as well. A&M would need to beat Auburn. They would need to beat Ole Miss, and they would need to beat Tennessee in the next 3 weeks, finishing off on December 19th, in order to get to 9-1 on the season. So that is the SEC, where there are three teams alive for the college football playoff. This is a big deal, and I don't know how much attention it's going to get, but the ACC is now protecting its two teams that are in the mix to potentially make the college football playoff, because they ended their games, which would take place on December 12th. Clemson will no longer play Florida State, and Notre Dame will no longer go on the road against Wake Forest. What does that mean? Well, first of all, both of those teams, to be fair, would have been substantial favorites in each of those games. But it means that if Clemson wins this weekend, and if Notre Dame wins this weekend, Notre Dame plays, by the way, Syracuse, then both of those teams would have a bye week, and we would have a 10-0 Notre Dame team waiting to play against an 8-1 Clemson team. And if Notre Dame wins, they're in the college football playoff easily. And if Clemson wins, they're in the college football playoff easily. Clemson would be. I think both of these teams are now likely to be favorites to make the college football playoff because as long as Notre Dame is competitive against Clemson and doesn't get blown out, I don't see how anybody is going to have a much better resume than 10-1 Notre Dame would have in the event of a defeat. So you got three SEC teams alive, two ACC teams alive. You can see a scenario where there are two SEC and two ACC teams and nobody else is even seriously considered, including Ohio State, who I will get to in a moment. What would that scenario look like, you may be asking? Well, if Florida upsets Alabama, and if Clemson beats Notre Dame, as they would be favored to do, I think your four college football playoff teams would be Alabama, probably as your one seed. Probably not Alabama as your one seed in that scenario. I actually would be curious to see how they would seed it, but I think it would be Alabama, Florida, Notre Dame, and Clemson as your four playoff teams, two from the SEC, two from the ACC. Nobody else would get in. Now, still alive for the college football playoff is Ohio State in the Big Ten, who now is able to get back to practice and theoretically may be able to play against Michigan State. But if you watched the college football playoff special last night, there were some fireworks there. And later, ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit walked it back. But he said he thought Michigan might not play against Ohio State to end the season. If that were to happen, then Ohio State would not be eligible to make the college football, to make the Big Ten title game, because they wouldn't play the requisite number of games. And if that were to happen, then the best that Ohio State could do is play another game on December 19th, which means the best record the Buckeyes could post is potentially 6-0. Would six wins be enough to make the college football playoff when you look out there at Cincinnati, when you look at potentially 9-1 Texas A&M, when you consider BYU, when you consider what might be going on in the rest of college football? It is an intriguing and difficult question to answer as we look forward. And unfortunately for Ohio State, if they don't play enough games, they may not make the college football playoff, not because of lack of talent and not because of losses, but just because of the Big Ten and also the Pac-12 making the decision to cancel their season back in July instead of going down the same pathway that the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 all followed. Because all three of those conferences, the SEC, the Big 10, sorry, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC are all going to go ahead and crown champions, and they aren't going to be in any way disputable champions. They're going to get in virtually their entire college football season. And not only are they going to get in their entire college football season, they're going to do it with fans present, which is an incredible accomplishment. And we probably should spend more time praising all of those conferences, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12, and their commissioners and their leadership for being in a position where even with all the challenges from COVID and even with all the positive test insanity, those conferences are still going to get a champion. I'll bring in the crew. We will talk about all of these things, the NFL game going on this afternoon, the playoff rankings and what they might mean. I will also open up phone lines later throughout the course of the show, 877-996-6369. If you have any questions about the college football playoff scenario, 877-996-6369. I am Clay Travis. I think I just broke it all down for you pretty well, but I'll answer any questions you might have. This is Outkick the Coverage. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Wednesday in December as we roll on with Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
A couple of things that I saw that I thought, this is kind of incredible. how dominant has Alabama been at the top of the college football playoff rankings since we've gone into the playoff era? Alabama football has been the number one team in 20 of the 39 weeks of college football playoff rankings we have had so far in the playoff era. All right, let me repeat that. 39 weeks we've had rankings. Alabama has been number one in 20 of those weeks. That's more than every other team in college football combined. That's an insane stat. Alabama football, 20 times the overall number one team in the playoff rankings. 19 other teams combined have had fewer times at the top of the list than Alabama football. And by the way, I think Alabama deserves to be a fairly substantial favorite in the college football futures odds. And it could end up being a big deal who gets that four spot, right? Because if Alabama wins out and goes 10-0, which would then become 11-0, I think it's pretty clear that Alabama would end up the number one overall seed. And if that happened, then you could end up with a scenario where that number four seed is up for grabs, and we have to figure out exactly how that's going to shake out. Maybe it's Ohio State. Maybe it's Notre Dame, depending on what happens between now and then. And also, the SEC has got a big question to answer here. Are they going to follow the lead of the ACC? Because the ACC has basically said that Wake Forest-Notre Dame game and what would have been a rescheduled Florida State and Clemson game isn't going to happen. And the result is the teams get 2 weeks to prepare for the ACC championship game, but also have one less game that they have to worry about playing where they could get injured, where there could be some sort of COVID issue that might arise from having to travel, maybe more so. Whatever the case may be, the ACC just made it a lot more likely that both Notre Dame and Clemson will be into the college football playoff by knocking out their games on December 12th. That means that both of those teams on Saturday will finish their regular season and be getting ready for the ACC championship game. Okay. Will the SEC decide to do the same thing? I think there's some decent possibility that they might, because if Florida wins on Saturday at Tennessee, then they punch their ticket to Atlanta, and it wouldn't matter what happened in their final game of the season against LSU. And if Alabama wins on Saturday, as we would expect that they would, going up against LSU, then they would also punch their ticket to Atlanta. So if that were to happen, there's no real point in playing the December 12th games for both of those schools, other than maybe the additional teams that would play might like to get that game, right? But in theory, there's no real reason to actually play that football game, and I kind of think the SEC will go ahead and do away with that game. I'll start with you on that, Dub, because you're probably paying more attention to SEC football than anybody else. I think it's a brilliant move by the ACC to go ahead and do away with the games on December 12th, figuring that they're not necessary, but it also goes ahead and gives their teams an even better chance of going to the college football playoff. If Florida beats Tennessee and if Alabama beats LSU, as both would be expected to do, is that the right move for the SEC?
I think it is. I think it's a win-win, an extra, you know, week of rest in theory. So I think the ACC is making the right call, and I would be kind of surprised at this point if the SEC doesn't follow suit and do the same thing with Alabama and Florida.
I think it's a smart move. Danny G, what do you think?
I was looking at the schedule, and I'm just wondering, I mean, I doubt it. I'm looking at what Clemson has left on the board. There's no way in hell Virginia Tech has a shot against them, right? What are they, 4-5?
In theory, you wouldn't expect that that would be the case. Ordinarily, in an ordinary season where you have a huge, rabid home field advantage like they would ordinarily in Blacksburg, then you might step back and say, well, you know, maybe this ends up being an actual competitive game. But in this scenario where we're living right now, I don't see it. No. So I think Clemson is, I think they're like a 23-point favorite in that game. So look, if they lost, then Clemson's college football playoff chances are probably out the window, right? Because I don't think they would get in. I really don't, even if they came back and beat Notre Dame, although it would turn into an interesting debate at that point. But they got to win. But if they win that game, and look, they were going to be a huge fan, huge favorite over Florida State as well. So it's not as if there's some major, major undertaking going on here where the ACC is fundamentally altering the odds. But they are helping everybody by not having to play one more game. And so I wonder if the SEC, once they get those results on Saturday, Florida beats Tennessee, they win the SEC East without question. If Alabama beats LSU, they win the SEC West without question. What's the point of playing one more game? It seems to me that there could be a value in allowing both of those teams to get ready to have a bye week to prepare to play the SEC championship game on December 19th.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at possible upsets. Obviously, I don't think Alabama is going to lose to Florida, but if number six Florida beats number one Alabama, then the committee would consider both SEC teams.
Yeah, they
right?
both get in.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, again, that's where if you're an Ohio State fan, if Florida beats Alabama and if Clemson were to beat Notre Dame, those are your four college football playoff teams, and it doesn't even matter what happens in the rest of college football. Eddie Garcia, what do you think about that scenario, that idea? Do you think it makes sense, given what the ACC is doing, for the SEC to just say, hey, we'll give our teams that are going to be in the championship game an extra bye week too?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And the SEC is in the business of doing what's smart, as we saw with their decision, obviously, at the beginning of the season, and it's paying off for them. So, yeah, I think I understand what the ACC has done, and would be surprised if the SEC didn't follow suit.
It's also a little bit interesting. I don't think, you know, what Kirk Herbstreit said, and I've heard this from a lot of different coaches as well, is that there are a lot of teams using COVID as an excuse not to play. In other words, COVID positives. And there was some people who said, oh my God, I can't believe that that you know, Kirk Herbstreit said that on the program. And there were some people who were in the blue checkmark brigade that were offended by that comment. But I think it's 100% true. Look, Florida State to me is a great example. They chose not to play Clemson when Clemson was already in Tallahassee because a backup offensive lineman for Clemson had tested positive on the day of the game. And they said, oh, it's not safe. But there hasn't been a single case of anyone testing positive at all through the other, you know, through the game itself in the entire world. No soccer game, basketball game, football game, you name it. There's not one case in the entire world that we can trace a COVID positive test based on an athletic competition from one team, it passing to another team. And conveniently, Clemson was 35-point underdogs in that, so I was 35-point favorite over Florida State in that game. So it definitely seemed awfully convenient that Florida State wasn't going to have to play against Clemson. And Dabo Swinney said, well, look, we're not going to travel again to Tallahassee. And by the way, Florida State did it again the next week to Virginia. Virginia traveled all the way to Tallahassee. They were ready to play. And on the day of the game, Florida State said, we're not going to play anymore. Now, one aspect of that that is a flaw is I don't know why the ACC is testing and getting results on the morning of games, because it creates that scenario where you travel all the way to a particular location and then suddenly a game doesn't happen because somebody decides not to take the field. And then, by the way, Florida State lectured Clemson about how much more they care about the health and safety of their athletes. The big story here that has gotten no attention, we give in the media, every time somebody tests positive for COVID, it's like a fire drill. right? Everybody's like, oh my God, you see it on social media. There's this huge panic. Oh my God, look, they got this many positives, everything else. And then when all these guys come back and are 100% fine and have zero issues, it's never a story. I'll give you an example. The Ravens are playing this afternoon against the Steelers. Do you know who's back ready to play now? J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, who were like the first two guys to test positive for the Baltimore Ravens. When those guys tested positive, everybody lost their mind on social media. Those guys are actually going to be playing this afternoon against the Steelers, and hardly anybody is even pointing out that they're already back and they're 100% fine. Because the initial story of, oh my God, somebody has tested positive, receives a massive amount of attention. And then as soon as somebody comes back and there are zero issues with them at all, and everybody's fine to go, it doesn't receive a moment's worth of attention, which is kind of crazy. And I think speaks to why there's so much fear out there, because people are treating a COVID positive test like it's a death sentence when almost no one is actually impacted by this thing who is young and somewhat healthy, which is virtually every athlete out there. And so this whole, you know, sort of fear porn that I've been calling it, industry that's been created, which the sports media has fed into to a large extent, it isn't actually reflected in any kind of negative story at all. And by the way, if any athlete had actually gotten hospitalized or gotten severely sick from COVID, this would have been a monster story. The media would have covered it like crazy, and maybe it'll still happen in the month of December or in the month of January, but it seems like the odds of that happening have moved from nearly zero to even closer to nearly zero throughout the course of this this playoff run that we're now on in college football and the NFL. And by the way, people should be held accountable for the fear porn that they put out there. You should hold the sports media members that you follow, who told you for months that it wasn't safe to play football, you should hold them accountable for what they put out there. Dennis Dodd at CBS, he reported that 3 to 7 college football players would die if they played a college football season. Do you remember that? It was a huge story. Everybody was running around fear porn. Oh my God, how in the world can we play a season? He said 3 to 7 college football players would die if there was a college football season that was played. I'm not even aware of one that's been hospitalized, much less died. I mean, he should have to be held accountable for that opinion that he put out there, for the fear porn that he put out there. CBS should have to apologize. CBS should come out and say, you know what? We ran, CBSSports.com, a ridiculous fear porn laden story that said a bunch of football players would die if the season took place. It turns out we were 100% wrong. There were zero health-related issues virtually across all of college football, and we did our best to try to keep the season from happening because we were buying in to all of the fear porn. And by the way, you know how you notice how college basketball is back underway, and there hasn't been a single article out there hardly about how college basketball can't be played? College basketball is going to be played indoors in the middle of winter with fans present in many of these different venues, and nobody is saying a word now. The fear porn is basically all gone, and everybody's going to be able to play. And it's happening everywhere all over the country, by the way. My 10-year-old starts a basketball season Saturday. Indoor gym, games are going on, everybody's going to be fine. Because it's become clear, finally, that kids and young people aren't under danger from COVID. Something that I've been telling you for months on this show. People are like, oh, Clay Travis, you can't trust that guy, Clay Travis. I've been telling you for months. Schools need to be open. We need to be playing sports. The data's clear. And finally, everybody's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you know what Clay Travis said? It's 100% right. Schools do need to be open, and we do need to be playing all sports. And I'm like, thank you, finally, for coming around. But where were you in June and July and August when this was 100% just as clear? And you were like, everybody was running around like, oh, we can't play. It's impossible. People will die. No, it didn't happen. The data was clear. It was never going to happen. And I'm kind of fired up about it because the people who were telling you this was impossible, they're just not even going to say anything. They're not going to acknowledge they were wrong. They're not going to apologize to their audiences that they scared to death for months. They're not going to admit that they were totally without merit in their arguments that there shouldn't be college football season or that there shouldn't be fall athletics. They're not going to admit to any of it. And now college basketball season has started and they didn't even put up a fight over it. And now, to be fair, suddenly even people like, remember Dr. Fauci, who's had every position on every issue under the sun? He finally came out and said, yeah, kids need to be back in school. I've been saying that since April. The data's been clear since April. Where have you been? It's been self-evident that we never should have shut down schools in the first place. And if we had never shut down schools in the first place, there would have been no argument that we shouldn't be able to play sports. That was all tied together. And now everybody's like, yeah, the data's pretty clear. Kids need to be back in school. Well, thank you. But where were you when all these decisions were being made in the fall? All the data has been readily there for months that kids aren't under danger from COVID. I came on this show, people get upset with me. So the data's clear. Kids are under more danger of death from the seasonal flu than they are from COVID. And they aren't primary vectors of spreading the virus. So everybody running around out there saying, oh, you're going to kill my grandma if school's open back up. Grandpa's going to die. No, they're not. Because kids aren't the primary vectors to spread the virus. All of this was just a mountain of insanity and absurdity and stupidity. And sports have been an important part of helping to send the message that it's safe to live your life. I'm going to the game between the Titans and the Browns on Sunday here in my hometown of Nashville. I've been to 4 NFL games already with my family. And I went to a college football game. Well, if you want to count it, a college football game. It was a slaughter. I went to go watch Alabama play against Tennessee. I was even toying around a little bit with the idea of driving up to Knoxville on Saturday and watching Tennessee play against Florida in person. But I'm convinced it's going to be such a debacle that I don't want to get in the car and spend the time there. But I'm going Sunday to watch the Titans play against the Browns. It'll be my 5th NFL game that I've gone to. They're not even letting the 49ers play contact sports in Santa Clara County. They are making Stanford move to Washington and to Oregon to finish their season. Santa Clara County is not letting the 49ers play in an empty football stadium, and I'm going to be part of a crowd watching the NFL play in a stadium in Nashville. What sense does that make? The 49ers have to pick up and move? They have to go to Phoenix? Are you kidding me? Does anybody have a functional brain in this country? I've lost it. I mean, it's totally insane.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
All right, I'm fired up about a lot of things, not surprisingly, on the show on a regular basis, but I can't believe that there isn't more discussion about this insanity in Santa Clara County where they are forcing the San Francisco 49ers and the Stanford Cardinal out of the county and they aren't going to be able to play contact sports there. I mean, again, there is a rush to stupidity as it pertains to COVID in this country, and there has been for near, whatever it is, 8 months now. But this is a next level stupidity. I'm going to open up the phone lines and allow you guys to react to this, but I just want you to listen to me carefully here. The 49ers are not being allowed to play in Santa Clara County to finish their season. They are being kicked out of that county and they are moving the entire franchise to Phoenix to finish their season. There is zero sense that this makes at all. Stanford is being kicked off of their campus and relocating to Seattle, and then I think to Corvallis, if I'm not mistaken. They are going to finish their season in Oregon and in the state of Washington. If you are concerned about this virus and you are in Santa Clara County, what sense does it make for you to require hundreds of people to relocate and live in close proximity while relocating in any way to make things safer? This is where these idiots who are making these decisions need to be held accountable by media. Is anybody in Santa Clara County even pointing out how stupid this is? And by the way, this was all a natural outgrowth of the virtue signaling absurdity that has been going on in places like Santa Clara County for a long time. You know, they were requiring people who called San Francisco 49er games to wear masks while doing so. Think about that for a minute. They had plexiglass dividers up between whoever was calling the game, and then they required the announcers to wear masks while they were doing it. Now they are essentially kicking the San Francisco 49ers and the Stanford Cardinal out of the county, sending them elsewhere, hundreds of people, so that they can actually finish their college football seasons and their NFL seasons. And there is zero evidence that that is making things in any way safer. In fact, it definitely makes things less safe because you're requiring people to travel even more than they otherwise would. And also, suddenly they're able to play magically when they get to Phoenix and magically when they get to Washington State and to Oregon State. What in the world sense does this make? This is a clown show. These are idiot leaders that are making decisions that have no logical or rational basis, and no one is standing up to them. Why wouldn't the San Francisco 49ers file a lawsuit about this? Why wouldn't Stanford file a lawsuit about this and seek a judge's ruling that this requirement is unconstitutional? Why is everyone just acquiescing to the total takeaway of their constitutional rights? I don't understand it. And why aren't media members pointing out how ridiculously insane this decision is? And some of you are saying, well, why do you care? Because the Constitution matters. Kind of an important deal. And sports is an important marker for what is and what is not acceptable in this country. And also because other idiot politicians compete to follow the lead of Santa Clara County. If they're doing it in Santa Clara County now, they might well do it in the near future in LA County. And then USC and UCLA and the Rams and the Chargers are all having to relocate out of LA County. And then the idiot governor of California, Gavin Newsom, might do the same thing. And then all the college basketball teams have to relocate. And then all the college football teams. And then all the NFL teams. And it's just a continuing absurdity. I mean, are we sure that the Rose Bowl is going to be able to be played in LA? I'm not. Certainly we know there's not going to be any crowds there. Has anybody actually sat around and thought, what logical sense are these directives actually making? Anyone? Why, again, would the 49ers not file a lawsuit over this? Why would Stanford not file a lawsuit? Why would Cal not file a lawsuit? They're being kicked out of their home county and not being allowed to do their jobs there. And it's like everybody's just throwing up their hands and saying, okay, well, we got to relocate. To hell with that. File a lawsuit. Battle. Prove what is true. Your constitutional rights are being being taken away with no basis in sound reality whatsoever. It's absolute insanity. We'll open up the phone lines, 877-996-6369. I am Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage, the last sane voice anywhere in sports media. Crazily enough, it's this dude here on Outkick.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.